In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, starting in verse number 10, because we covered 1 through 9 on Sunday, and we'll cover out the rest of the chapter tonight. Not going to go into too much detail and too much depth here. Is everybody here familiar with Faith Promise? Everybody, I believe, knows about Faith Promise. Everybody has been under the teaching here. So we don't need to go in anything in depth, but I do want to covet some suggestions on a few things here tonight as we go through here. So you bear with us and give me some input as we go down and discussing this chapter here. The background or the basis of this chapter here, of course, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, letting them know, hey, remember what you said you'd do as far as helping the Judean saints. And as I always said before, this chapter in chapter 9 does not talk about Faith Promise giving to missions, but it is meeting a need, which was a mission in and of itself, and that was the Judean saints. And so that's what's going on here. We take this principle and get the financing for our missions program because biblically there is no financial basis that God said, this is what you do to reach the world with. He just said, do it. Amen. By the way, persecution started the early saints. Amen. In Jerusalem, persecution came and they went out because of the persecution. We don't want persecution, so we want to pay. Amen. Make sure we give so we don't get persecuted. Amen. But stranger things have happened. So take your Bibles, chapter number 8. Stand with me. We're going to read 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. Did I say Philippians? Okay, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15, and then I'll comment on verses 16 through 23 at the end. But the main emphasis is going to be verses 10 through 15. 2 Corinthians 10 through 15. So let's read those verses together. And I'm sure you're familiar with these, and that's great. That saves me some time having to explain a lot of things. Amen. All right, everybody, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 10. Amen. All right, let's start reading in verse number 10 to 15. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Father, over the next several moments that we have here, Lord, I pray you might speak to our hearts and remind us of the necessity to do something by way of missions. Lord, and I believe all of us have our minds made up that we will be involved. Now, the only thing that's not set is the amount that is going to be set. So, Lord, work in us and work through us, Lord, and as we have been increased, help us to increase. If we've been decreased, we may have to decrease. Lord, whatever it is that we need to do, help us to do it faithfully, do it regularly, and, Lord, to do it because we love you and we want to be obedient to the cause of Christ. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now the moments we have in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, Sunday we talked about grace giving and defined. We gave the definition there. Verses 1 through 5, we saw that God's grace was demonstrated through the saints of Macedonia, and we looked at verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We saw grace can be shown in poverty, verse 2. Grace can be shown beyond our power, verses 3 and 4. Grace can be shown if we present ourselves, verses 5 through 8. Then we came down to verse number 9. God's grace was demonstrated through our Savior. Now, by the way, if Jesus Christ demonstrated grace and he gave, what can we do? We can do the same thing, amen, through the grace of God, amen. So it brings us to the second half here, grace giving done and delivered. By the way, is Paul full well expecting the Corinthian saints to get involved? Yes, he's expected it. He's expecting them to do something. Why is he expecting them to do something? They said they would, number one. They said they would. Now, by the way, if you say you're going to do something, what do people expect? Expect you to do what you said you're going to do. Amen. One of the worst things you can do is say you're going to do it and not do it. People don't trust your promise. Amen. What other reason do you think Paul has in his expectations for them doing it other than they said they were going to do it?
Jerry?
Fellow believers. Fellow believers. Amen. What are you going to say, Brother Hall? Amen, basically. Someone gave to them to help them out. By the way, if somebody helps you, aren't you more inclined to help somebody else in the same predicament that you might be in? Amen. And so that's what's going on here. So several things going on here. First of all, Paul said, you know what? It's expedient to give by grace. Notice verse number 10. He said, and herein I give my advice. Amen. How many of y'all like advice? How many of y'all like to take and use the advice? How many of y'all just like to listen to the advice, see what it's going to say? And if you like it, you'll take it. If it goes contrary to what you want to do anyway, you're not going to take it. Amen. That's how most people take the advice of the pastor. Amen. Well, if it goes along with what I want to do, I'll take it. If it doesn't go along with it, I'm not going to take that. Amen. So I don't care what you say. Amen. By the way, children do the same thing. Children say, if it goes along with what I want to do, I'll take it. If it doesn't go along with what I want to do, I'll tell you I like it, but I'm not going to follow it. Amen. That's just the nature of children. Amen. They're just like big adults. Adults do the same thing. So Paul does not command them again, but gives them some advice here or his opinion to this young church. You think they're going to take it? Amen. They ought to. He says it's expedient or to their advantage to finish this grace giving that they started a year ago. They will save face. Amen. By the way, if they didn't give and everybody else gave and they were the ones that started it all, what are people going to say? A bad mouth of man, we gave because we thought you were giving. Now you didn't give anything. What kind of idea is that? That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? Especially if you jumped out in the lead. Hey, guys, look what I'm going to give. And everybody, yeah, you are. Well, I'm going to give too. Then turn around. How much you give? I didn't give. That's pretty bad. Amen. And by the way, was the Corinthian church a pretty well-to-do church? They were more well-to-do than Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica. They were more well off in this church. They had just about everything going for them. Amen. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I'm looking for the area where Paul said, you come behind in no gift. Where are we at? Where is that at? Verse 7. He talks about all the things that they have. Then verse 7, he says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, he said, when it came down to spiritual gifts, this church had every gift that was available to them to utilize for the glory of God. They had it going on. That's why they had problems in chapter 12, 13, and 14. Amen. So back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, it's expedient for you to do this. Amen. You ought to do this. You ought to give by grace. By the way, we don't give to be repaid, but God always repays when we do give. Amen. Joshua, he was just a generous giver. He got all his birthday money and he was giving his tithes, put it out there, man. He pulled it out there and boom, just yesterday, grandma sent him another $20. I mean, couldn't lick the envelope quick enough to get it up there. And grandma gave him 20 more dollars. And guess what he did? He put some more money out there. Amen. And he's like, look, I'm just going to keep giving. I keep giving. God keeps giving back to me. Amen. So praise God. That's good, good, good. So he says down there, herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He says, go back and make up. But then not only is it expedient, he says, expected to give by grace. Verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. Amen. But notice what he says here, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. You know what he's saying, basically? You said you wanted to go jogging. You bought jogging shoes. You bought a jogging suit. You actually set your alarm. You actually got up and had your coffee, but you didn't go no place. He said you wanted to do it. Hey, how many times we are? I'm going to memorize scripture. I got my Bible. I got the Sunday school verse. I'm going to memorize. But I didn't memorize it. Notice what he says down there. Now, therefore, what? Perform what? The doing of it. He said, you already said you were going to give. Now give. He said, do it. He said that as there was a what? Readiness to will. He said, you were ready to do it. You had your mind set. You said, I'm going to do it, but you didn't do it. He said, readiness to mind, readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He said, now you need to perform it and you need to provide it. Amen. By the way, when I had my Achilles injury and I had my boot on, I couldn't walk. Amen. I was ready to go running, but I couldn't run. And guess what happened the minute I could go running? What? Well, not, I was past the hurting part already, amen. But when it came down to running, I had wanted to run so bad. I got the boot off. Doctor said, you're cleared. Get out there and go for it. Guess what happened? I didn't want to go. I got lazy. I mean, it was good just, you know, having that foot up there and say, hey, kids, go get me that. Go get me this. Come get me this and get me that. Yeah, come over here. Scratch my nose, you know. Hey, that was good. Now I could actually get up and go do something. It was like, I don't want to go now. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's raining. I don't have my jogging shoes. I don't have a sweatsuit. I got comfortable. I got lazy. It's been a year now. They were ready. Now they got to get reestablished or remotivated, amen. He said, you need to perform it, amen. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. We can't give what we don't have if we're not willing to give out of what we do have. Amen. What did he say down there? A performance also out of what? That which ye have. Don't pray for God to give to you so you can give if you're not giving out of what you have. Somebody say amen. If you're not going to give out of what you have already, why are you going to pray to God to give you more? Give out of what? Preacher, what does it say? Matthew 6, give and it shall be given. He didn't say wait till you receive. He said give and it shall be given. So when it comes down here, Paul is telling them, hey, look at what you have. Don't pray for that which you don't have. Give out of that which you do have. Now, by the way, I always say this. Most of us are going to give out of one of three ways. Number one, we'll give out of our abundance. In other words, what I can afford to give. The second way I'm going to give is going to be by sacrifice. I can't really afford it, but I will reshuffle some things to make it happen. The third way is going to be by exceptional faith. Now, let me just talk to you for a minute here. This is the way this needs to happen. I must tithe first. I cannot give to missions if I'm not tithing. He said, bring ye all the what? Tithes into the storehouse. So I've got to be tithing. He said, what? You have robbed me in what? Tithes and what? Offering. So to be right with God, I've got to have my tithe first, an offering of some sort, whatever it may be. You gave to the fence, you gave to this, you gave to that, whatever. Brother Aaron saved us out there. He helped out with the gate out there because we might have to get another roller on the gate. So that's going to be another thing that we'll have to give for, like the fence, to get the gate repaired because they are expensive. Amen. And so a tithe has got to be there, an offering. And then this is what you should do. You should say, okay, God, how much would you have me to give? Now that I've given my tithes, now I've given my offering, how much would you have me to give? Now caution yourself. Look at your bills and see what you have that needs to be paid first. You have a car, you got to factor that in. You got a house, you got to factor that in. You've got a mortgage or what you call it, rent, you got to factor that in. You got car insurance, you got to you've got to look at your bills and say, what is coming in? Now, what's going out? I know my tithe is going out. I know my offering is gone out. But now I've got my mortgage. I've got this. You've got to look at this systematically. People look at faith problem. They think it's like, ooh, God's just going to give me a figure. And I'm going to say, well, I'm going to give $2,000. Wee. Wait a minute. If you're making $1,000, that's not smart. That's not smart at all. this is not foolishness and this is not mystical. This is practical, factual information. Now, it's spiritual because God blesses you spiritually. But God doesn't want us to be foolish and say, well, God wants me to get $500, but I only make $200. Well, where's the other $300 going to come from? Well, I'm just trusting God to bring it. Now, if you have exceptional faith like that, praise God for you and hallelujah. But I am not going to put that on you. That's going to be between you and God if you say that. Amen. Because according to my Bible, he says, performance also out of what? That which ye have at the end of verse number 11. And what did he say in verse 12? For if there be first a what? Willing mind, I got to want to do this. It is accepted according to that a man what? Hath. I got to have it in my possession and not according to that he hath not. By the way, did God ask Israel to bring an offering for the tabernacle and all the furnishings and everything? Did he ask them to bring that? Where did they get that money from? From what they had. And by the way, who gave them what they had? Egyptians gave them what they had. They were slaves. They were slaves, so they didn't have any. Go over to Exodus chapter, where is it at? Exodus, let's try 12. Exodus chapter 12. Again, what I want to make sure that we're being smart about this and not being foolish and saying, well, God, you set me up for failure. No, God never wants to set you up for failure. But God wants you to be serious about what you're doing and praying about what you're doing. Exodus chapter number 12. Let's see here. Let's come down to, where are we at here? Where did it say the Egyptians gave them all this stuff here in chapter 12? There we go. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians. Were they going to pay this back? I don't think the Egyptians want to see them anymore. I should say they gave it to them. Amen. They brought of the Egyptians what? Jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor inside of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required. Now, I don't know if it happened like this, but I don't know if the Israelites went up there and said, you know what? I can use some gold, some silver. That ring will be good for me. You know, those earrings look nice. You know, that's a nice robe you got on. Why don't you take that robe off? That'd be good. Well, can I go in your closet too? Yeah, those, the shoes, that looks good. That gold, that, yeah, I think I'll take that vase. But y'all are traveling on foot. I got a cart, amen. I don't know how it all happened, but I know they got the stuff. And when they got the stuff, they were in the wilderness, and God said, now make me this tabernacle and bring this, whoever's willing-hearted. And guess what they did? They bought the stuff that they had gotten from the Egyptians. Not that you're an Egyptian, Joshua, amen. So when it comes down to this, God was looking for them in the wilderness to give out of what they had because they could not give God what they didn't have. Is that right? So it is with you and I. We cannot give God what we don't have. And we're not going to give if we're not giving out of what we have already. That makes sense? Amen. All right. So back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he says, for if there be first a willing, verse 12, willing mind is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. And so I've got to have this willing mind has been expanded on how to give by grace. Amen. So I'm going to give in one of three ways: out of my abundance, what I can afford, by sacrifice, I can't afford it, but I'm going to reshuffle. And then by exceptional faith, I can't see it happening, but God says I can do it. Now, if I'm going to give by sacrifice and I need to reshuffle, what types of things might I reshuffle or can I reshuffle? I've heard everything from cutting out Starbucks once a week. Not going to McDonald's as much, cutting out QT. What else can I maybe reshuffle so that I can have what I know God wants me to give if I'm going to sacrifice? Joshua? Cut down and get budget brand shoes. So instead of getting Curry's, I got to get Dawson's. Amen. That'll work. Amen. We can fly with that. What else might I have to do? Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 So just shopping online, shopping smarter. Amen. What else can I reshuffle or do something to make sure that I can't reshuffle my mortgage. I can't reshuffle my car insurance. I can't reshuffle my medical insurance. I can't reshuffle my medical co-pays. I can't reshuffle those types of things. But there are certain things that I can reshuffle. Maybe I can get generic on certain things. Maybe I'm going to get tissue, napkins or whatever. I'm not going to get Bounty, but I'm going to get Great Value. Or maybe if I'm going to get the hand towels that's just going to be used to swap up the floor, I'm not going to get the most expensive brand, but I'll get the whatever brand because it's cheaper. There's many different ways that we can reshuffle some things to make sure that I'm not spending more than I should to make sure that I have enough. What are some other ways I can do? Reshuffle some things or spend less or yes. Amen. 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 And by the way, if you check it out, you could probably cut down a lot of electronics. You know, we first got our car, they gave us this subscription to Sirius Radio. 4,000 channels. You know how many channels I listen to? ESPN and the Wildcat station, so I can catch the games. And NBA station? I'm not talking about the radio station. And the rest of those stations, they had the Ozzy Osbourne and the Elvis and the hip hop and the bebop and the classical. And I don't even listen. I got two ears, amen. I don't even listen to all of these things. Half of them, I can't even look. I'm looking at this list. I'm thinking, it'll be two lifetimes for I listen to all this stuff. And you want me to pay for this? I said, no. Same thing with cable television. There's 1,000 channels and nothing good comes on. I watch my NBA channel, my football channel, my ESPN, and that's about it. My wife will kill me if I don't let her watch Hallmark, amen? And Hallmark channel, that's about it. The rest of them, like, kick them to the boot, amen? I don't need all that stuff, amen? But they put all that stuff out there. So there's many different ways we can cut down on certain things just to make sure that we have what we need, because oftentimes, and God said, now, you know you have this money, but are you willing to sacrifice to give for it? Because certain things I just don't need. Certain things I can't cut. I know that. But there's other things I may cut. Some folks have given up donuts. Some have given up, Ted Patterson gave up steak for a while. Amen. I'm not that manly to do that. Amen. But there's different ways. Amen. But we do know this. I may have to sacrifice something in order to make this happen. Maybe you are of the sort where you can give out of your abundance and it's not going to affect your budget one way. You can still live life large and still give to missions. Amen. Praise God for you. Amen. And nothing wrong with that. Amen. And don't feel shame about that. No, God never said you had to be poor mouth. Amen. He said, just give cheerfully. Now, if it's going to make you poor mouth, you better not give. Amen. Because God making me give up my donuts. Okay. What's wrong with you? God made me give up my coffee. God is not interested in you being grumpy about giving up your coffee, giving up your donut, giving up whatever. The next chapter is going to talk about how he wants a cheerful giver. Amen. So if you're going to sacrifice, make sure it's something that you can sacrifice cheerfully. Amen. And by the way, don't try and sacrifice your husband's or your wife's stuff. Amen. We're going to get rid of Hallmark Channel because we don't need it anyway. My wife kills me. Amen. She said, well, let's get rid of the NFL channel. Well, no, I will die if you do that. Amen. So don't try to give up somebody else's stuff. Give up your stuff. Amen. And maybe you're going to need to give up soda. Soda's bad for you anyway. No, you said the S word, soda. Guess no. Amen. Yes, Jerry.
A lot of times they have all these sales, like a prize or someplace. And so you go into the sale item and then you end up with a bunch of other stuff. Now, me, I don't like to shop, so I make a list, and if I go for 10, I make a list. I go in, get that, and get out, and that's it. But most people don't do that, and they'll pick up, oh, well, that, I didn't think about that. I need to, and a lot of times they don't.
Amen. And in Belgium, they said the military commercial passed away. Would say, don't shop when you're hungry. Because you end up with all the snack foods. And by on purpose, they put all that junk food at the cash register. Yeah. And so that you can get all that stuff. Then they put all those little peep books up there where you can read the National Enquirer. Jane did this with Sam. And then now you're ready to go in and read that and put that in your cart. It costs you $10. Amen. But anyway, going on. So grace giving done and delivered. He says expedient, verse 10. It's expected, verse 11. But then we come down to verse number 12 through 15. It's expanded on how to get by grace. Verse 12, he says, got to be a willing mind. You've got to want to do this. Amen. And he said it will be accept it out of what you have, not what you don't have. But it all starts in your willing mind and in your willing heart. And then notice in verses 13 and 14, he's talking about the wanting moment. Basically, you may have a need at one time. Verse 13, he says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. In other words, you may have an excess today, and they have don't have an excess. They have a decrease, and so now you've got to help with your excess meet their decrease. But there's coming a day where they may have more than what they need, and you're going to be down, and they can meet your need. Back in the days, how many of your parents used to go to the neighbor and get some salt or some butter or some pepper or sugar or whatnot? Amen. Back in the days, you could actually get away with that. Amen. And pretty much that's what he's dealing with there, is you scratch our back and we'll scratch yours. We need you now. You may need us later. But then come down to verse number 15. Paul expanded on the word from Moses. He says, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. He's talking about when the manna fell, everybody collected a certain amount. The big family folks that collected, guess what? They had enough to meet their need. The small families that collected some, guess what? They had enough to meet their need. Everybody had the same measurement that they were supposed to gather up according to their families, but nobody went without. God made sure that the big families got met and the smaller families got met as well. So there was an evenness that happened there when it came down to it. And they worked together to make sure that it happened. Amen. And I mentioned this in the past. If it worked for them, it'll work for the Corinthian church. If it worked for the Corinthian church, guess who it'll work for? It'll work for us. Amen. We won't go broke. We won't go hungry. We won't go without our needs being met. Why? We're giving out of that which we have. So it's what we have. We're tithing. We're giving an offering. We're looking at our bills to see what we can do. We may have to reshuffle some things and move some things around, may have to sacrifice something. But it can happen. The choice is still up to us whether we want to do it, just like it was with the Corinthians. And when it came down to it, he lists down here Titus verses 16 through 23 and several other brothers here. And I'm going to read this for you real quick so you can see this, because he wanted to make sure that the Corinthians knew that if I've got this finances coming from you going to Jerusalem, it's going to be protected. Notice what he says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. So basically he's saying Titus is a committed courier. He has a concern for you and he has some care for you. Notice verse 18 and 19. He's got some considered company going with him. He says, and we have sent with him, this is Paul speaking, the brother. So Titus is going. He said, we sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. He said, everybody knows this guy. He says, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. He said, the churches handpicked this guy and said, look, if you're going to take somebody, take the money down there, you need somebody to go, take this guy. Take this guy. Titus is going. All right. We want you to go with Titus. Everybody knows this guy. Everybody was understanding about this guy. Everybody was familiar with this guy. People knew this guy. He says, verse 20, the Christian caution that should be involved there. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. It is not going to be pilfered. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of who? Men. Who's going to accuse them of wrongdoing when it comes down to money? God or men, most times. So he says, Titus is going. I've got this guy going. We want to be above board with the finances here. Notice down there, verse 21, providing for honest things, not only inside of the Lord, but inside of men. Verse 22, and we have sent with them who? Our brothers. So Titus is going, the brother that the church has picked up in verse 18. Paul said, now we've got a brother. Some believe this is Silas. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. By the way, three brothers listed so far. Who thinks it's more? Is it tougher to travel with money now, or was it tougher to travel with money back then? Why was it tougher back then? They didn't have 911 emergency calls. They didn't have cell phones. If you got mugged on the side of the road, it wouldn't normally happen to you. Remember the Good Samaritan? Where did he get left at? Side of the road. And there was no ambulance trolling down the street. There was no police going up and down. There was no 911. There was no helicopter trying to find people that was laid out. So guess what happened? If you got mugged, you just got mugged. How many of y'all watch some of those old Western movies? They robbed the bank. You just out there. You are out there. Amen. And so he says, hey, look, there's some conduct going on here and some caution going on here. And the character of these men has been proved. And notice the last couple of verses there, 23 and verse 24. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is what? My partner and what? Fellow helper concerning you. Talking about you, Corinthians. Our brethren or our brethren be inquired of. They are what? The messengers of the church. As I said, Titus is spoken for. These other brothers are spoken for. He says, and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. They said, when they show up, show them how much you love God by having this ready and by treating them right. And of our boasting on your behalf. Paul had already told them how good of a church it was. He said, look, we boasted about you. So he said, make sure you show the proof of your love and our boasting, what we said about you to be true. Don't let me down. What do we tell our children when they go away with somebody? Hey, you act like I told you. Make sure they see what kind of character you have. Amen. And that way, when they go out there and they act like a monkey, you say, look, you're not a monkey. Why'd you act like one? So he says, show what you believe, prove your love, and show the boasting that we had about you to those brothers when they come. Amen. The first chapter is over, dealing with Paul and his instruction to this young church to get them motivated to give. The next chapter, now he's going to talk about how they should give. We'll see that on Sunday, and the attitude they ought to give and the rewards that come because they do give. There's nothing mandatory that he has put on them, but they know that they should be recipients to help someone else because they themselves were recipients of a blessing. Amen. And we know that we've been given a mandate to reach the world with the gospel. We just don't have the finances to do it. This is how we do it. Preacher, how much should I give? That's between you and the Lord. You've got to look at what you have. Don't look at what somebody else has. Look at what you have and what you can give and let God determine what he wants you to give. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for Paul and him being led of the Holy Spirit to write to the church at Corinth and to detail and to, Lord, just to really line out to them what they needed to do. And he's not asking them to give something that they don't have, but to give out of what